Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
To know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come
on. Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Friday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Coming up this hour on the show, Mike Yam joins us from the Pac-12 Network. We'll discuss Utah's chances of cracking into this college football playoff four. And what it would mean to the conference to finally have a team once again back in there, as they've been shut out a number of times in the five-year history of the college football playoff. But first, let's talk about last night's absolute disgrace. It is a Target Demo Friday, so we want to know what you're doing as you listen to the show, where you're at, how you're doing. And you can tweet at us, DA on CBS, or post on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. You'll know where to post when you see the meme of Jason Garrett's staring into space face.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
What a pathetic, absolutely pathetic, humiliating performance for the Dallas Cowboys. I get it. Emotionally, got to be deflating to go to Foxborough. Know that you're good enough to play with the defending Super Bowl champions, play them within a score and not be able to close the door. I get why that is deflating. I get why that is aggravating. I get why Jerry Jones said what he did after that game. It did feel like that was a chance for the Cowboys to finally assert what type of team they are against a vulnerable Patriots team, and they could not do so. They fell short. What they cannot be forgiven for is after that game responding with such hot trash. It's one thing to lose at home on national TV on your day, your holiday, Thanksgiving, to the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are a good team. It's another thing to have the long week and last night lay that egg. I guess it wasn't that long because it was Thursday to Thursday, but you still got, it wasn't a short week for them. And for the Cowboys to know their season's on the line, their season's on the brink, to know that they've been embarrassed a number of times this year, losing to the Jets when it was unfathomable to lose to the Jets, losing last week to the Bills, losing to the New England Patriots, losing terrible games throughout the season to every team with a somewhat decent record, and to come out last night and do that. For Jason Garrett's final trick, he's going to make Mitchell Trubisky's offense look like the greatest show on turf. Voila! Pathetic. Truly pathetic. And so what's the takeaway there? Well, obviously, you have to fire Jason Garrett because that team is not listening to him. He's certainly not getting the most out of that locker room. And Garrett is as good as gone. But let's go bigger picture here. What will fix the Cowboys? Two things will fix the Cowboys. One thing that'll fix them is having a head coach that the locker room and roster actually respects, and a head coach that has a presence. I've said this for a long time, and it's partially a joke, but it's partially the truth. Jason Garrett must be a really good dinner guest. Because how else do you explain him being the head coach of such underwhelming teams for so long? I mean, the guy's been at the job for a decade and never gotten to an NFC championship game, ever. He must be a really good dinner guest. I'm sure that he's pleasant, he's polite, he tells some good stories about his playing days, his coaching days. My guess is people like being around Jason Garrett for the most part. Not a very commanding presence, though, in terms of an alpha male, an organizer, or a leader. So that's what the Cowboys need first, is an organizer, is a leader, is a follow me. I got the plan. I don't think Jason Garrett ever strikes you as that type of guy. The other thing is, Jerry Jones has to get out of the way. He has to. Now, to a certain extent, he has. He has given up control over drafting, and thankfully so, or else you'd be stuck with Johnny Manziel and other weirdo picks like that. But the fact that Jones is out of the play for deciding on their draft picks is an important part of getting out of the way. The next part is stop making life so hard on the coach and the locker room. If your owner, who is right now the most famous person associated with the team, obviously, could you pick out of a lineup 25 NFL owners that weren't named Robert Kraft or Jerry Jones? I mean, could you? Could you? My guess is no. My guess is no way. Could you pick Ziggy Wilf out of a lineup? Jimmy Haslam out of a lineup? Could you find Terry Pegula out of a lineup? Would you have any idea? Any. Would you know what Stephen Ross looked like? Malcolm Glazer? Would you know? Would you have any idea? Or one of the Glazer kids? Probably not. My guess is no. You'd know Mark Davis, dopey haircut. You'd know Robert Kraft. He wins all the time, and he loves being on camera, and you know Jerry Jones. Jerry's the only one of those guys that does a post-game press conference after every single game, has a weekly radio show. It's crazy. And what Troy Aikman said is right on. It undermines the head coach because the head coach has a message, and then the owner who wants to sell and add pizzazz and have attention and grab headlines is going to start talking about winning Super Bowls. Well, before you can win Super Bowls, you've got to win on Sunday. That won't change, I don't think. So that's when the name Urban Meyer pops up. That's interesting because Urban Meyer would seemingly be the type of guy that would have command of the locker room. He's a jerk. He's a hard ass. But look, that has worked. That has worked for a long time in football. Being the hard ass. And he's a winner. There is no doubt about it. You hire him, you might not get ethics, but you will get W's. One at Utah, one at Florida, one at Ohio State, and would win again. If you bring in Urban Meyer, and this was a report from Jane Slater, NFL Network, who's very connected with the Cowboys organization, the Cowboys are interested in Urban Meyer. Could it make sense that USC was interested in Urban Meyer, but Urban Meyer declined them, and that's why they brought back Clay Helton? Is it possible Urban Meyer's already angling for the Cowboys' job? I mean, you know it would pay really well. I think Urban Meyer brings the follow me, I got the plan. I don't know, though, if his touch works in the NFL. You know, it's easier to be a bully in college. It's easier to be a hard ass in college. It's easier when you dangle playing time and snaps and stats in front of kids that know they need you to get to the pros. It's way easier to bully around and push around a 19-year-old than it is a 29-year-old. And it's impossible to bully a 39-year-old. So, I think Urban Meyer would have to prove that he could connect to a professional athlete the same way he connects to a college athlete. And that's not always the same thing. But if Urban Meyer takes over the team, is Urban going to stand for Jerry Jones's nonsense? I mean, after big losses, Jerry then speaks, talks outside the locker room, does his own press conference, does a weekly radio show, talks about negotiations with players, talks about holdouts, talks about league issues, talks about controversial issues. I mean, is that what Urban Meyer is going to sign up for? It's going to have to be the same thing that Bill Parcells did. Parcells agreed to go to the Cowboys because Jerry was desperate. Jerry was trying to fund a brand new stadium. And so he brought in Parcells to give juice and life to the franchise, give respectability, and guess what he did? He got out of the way because it was Bill Parcells. Two Super Bowl championships you get out of the way for. And Parcells is that type of gruff, growling, I do it my way, get the hell out of here, Jerry. Jason Garrett is not. Is Urban Meyer going to play by those rules? Or is Jerry going to have to get out of his way? If you told me Jerry gets out of his way, Urban Meyer takes over the Cowboys, could I see it succeeding? Yes. But I could also see Jerry not getting out of the way, and I could see Urban getting really tired of that, and I could see this being something that blows up within 2 years. If Jerry stepped away and stopped being such a carnival barker and let Urban Meyer coach this team, it'd have a chance at far more success than they're having now. But can you change a guy at 80 years old? I doubt it. And for that, I don't think Urban would take that job. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. It is a Target Demo Friday, so let us know what you're doing as you listen to the show, where you're at, and how you're listening. I'll read through those coming up here later on in the hour. AZ and Wisco tweets, heavy guitar riff, high and tight with Bogish at number 12 is a sign of a great 12 DAs of Christmas to come. Dixie Landan tweets, I don't think I can take 11 more days of this. I forgot how funny these were. It's pretty quiet in my shop other than my fat ass laughing at nothing since I listen on headphones. Quote, watch Bogus snort red fire ants and talk baseball on high and tight Wednesdays. I was reminded of how we got onto that point on that day. It was because they were somehow throwing out Bogus's old backdrop from the podcast. He had an actual physical backdrop because I guess that there was a video portion of this. The digital team has a lot of great ideas that don't usually go many places. So Bogish had apparently a backdrop and it said Bogish at the plate, and it's a huge thing. And I mean, it's 8 feet wide, 6 feet tall. And they were tossing it. It was like in the dumpster. And Bogus said, I hadn't seen this in 6 years. I'm saving this. So he brought it in and said, look at this, guys. And we had never heard of this podcast. So he propped it behind him for the updates that day. And we began talking about memories of this podcast that we had never heard about. And Pete the Body Bilotti went into the archives and was able to dig up the open to it. And it had the heaviest guitar riffs. And we absolutely loved it. For the prim and proper Andrew Bogish. See you next time. I'm Bogish at the plate. Ba-da-da. Number 12 of the 12 of the A's of Christmas. The countdown begins. Monday is number 11. And even better. You know when it's Christmas and then somebody just gives you like a late birthday gift? Or it's your birthday and like you win some type of raffle at work, and it's just, it's bonus. It's bonus greatness. We have got bonus greatness for you on Thursday. Bilotti has finished putting the finishing touches on the Year of the Buffoon montage. which is every ridiculous thing Mraz has said throughout the calendar year. We began this last year with the Year of the Buffoon, and it has only gotten better. And I can tell you, I listened to it in full yesterday, and I was howling in laughter in the newsroom. Thursday, the Year of the Buffoon montage 2019. What a time of the year that it is around here. We really like to celebrate, commemorate, and look back, don't we? We really like to celebrate ourselves. When we come back, when we come back on the show, Mike Yam, Pac-12 Network, on what it's going to take for Utah to be in the Final Four. And let's jump into your phone calls as well regarding the NFL and last night's disgraceful performance by the Cowboys. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. We count down the 12 DAs of Christmas. Here's a moment that got stuck in the chimney.
Do you have enough biceps to actually show off? That's a question. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's fine. Like you.
Now he's flexing.
This is kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah, very.
For me at least.
Okay.
No, that's fine. I think the tight shirts are okay as long as they're not skin tight and they are the right length.
Okay, all right. But from a professional standpoint, what do you advise for Shep? Because he wants to be an NBA insider, and right now he's dressed like he's going to the gym. So what does he need to do?
Well, where are you trying to go in this outfit?
That's a great question.
Or your life.
Right. Wherever the good Lord takes me. No, I'm just kidding.
You can wear that to church.
Thank you, right. Or temple, depending on what your denomination
exactly.
is. Right.
Oh, God. How uncomfortable is Shep on the air every single time we do anything with him? That was Extreme Jakeover with Lisa Ramos in studio. One of the ones stuck in the chimney. Welcome back. 23 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We've got your Target Demo Friday coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll hear what you're doing as you listen to the show, how you're listening, and where you're at. Tonight, the Pac-12 Championship Game. Joining us from the Pac-12 Network with pre- and post-game coverage of the championship game tonight and bowl selections on Sunday is our friend Mike Yam. Yeah, Mike, good morning.
Morning, Matt. It's been too long, and you're right. It is the most wonderful time of the year because we got the championship game tonight. So certainly pumped for it.
My only question to lead things off is, why have you not responded to Bogus's last two text messages?
Okay, first of all, I was the last person to text him. Mm. Number one, I saw him on screen. He was working with you, and I got excited just because I don't get to see him, obviously, in person too often. So when he's on television, I was like, oh, yeah, that's my guy. Took a picture of it, texted it to him. He hit me back. I had like one of those, you know, like you got the iPhone, you do the double tap, and there's like a different like ha-ha, thumbs up, thumbs down. Yeah, I gave him a ha-ha, and I thought that was efficient as a response.
No, absolutely. If you gave him the quick tap ha-ha, that should be enough for Bogus.
No doubt. Like, I hope he's not upset. I mean, we go way back, so like I don't want there to be like bad feelings, but in my world, the ha-ha, the double tap is definitely sufficient as a response.
Yeah, no, that's sufficient. I guess he's needy this time of year. That's my only guess here.
Well, his little guy just had a birthday, so I can understand, like, emotionally, he just might be feeling a little bit older.
That's true. The mortality is setting in. Hey, let me ask you about Utah, okay? What doesn't America know about the Utah Utes going into tonight's game?
Well, I think America knows that they are one of the elite defenses in the country. They might not know that they are at least historically great against the run. Since 96, they actually have the fourth fewest yards per game allowed. They're giving up 56 per game. One guy has hit the century mark all season, and that's Eno Benjamin at Arizona State. The beauty of this, though, if you're a Utah fan, you could point to that, but then say that their quarterback, Jaden Daniels, threw for 25 yards. So this defense, I think everyone understands it's really good. I don't know if they fully understand how good it is. And then on top of that, I'd argue, like, offensively, they're a really complete team. Tyler Huntley is arguably one of two or three quarterbacks who I would put in the most efficient category, which, I feel like is a little bit of a knock because you hear efficiency at the quarterback spot, and a lot of times you think to yourself, oh, game manager. He is not a game manager. He's asked to do be efficient. And look, I mean, this guy is thrown for 300 yards on 18 passes this year. You know, most guys are throwing, and especially in this day and age, college football, you're throwing 40, 50 times to get into those types of numbers. Not to mention they have a Sunday running back in Zach Moss. I mean, tonight's game is going to be competitive, but as far as Utah being an elite program, there's no doubt in my mind that as long as Georgia loses, they're one of the four best teams in on selection Sunday, being college basketball. But once we get to bowl selections, they're going to be in the playoff.
I think you're right. I think if Georgia loses and Utah wins, they're the fourth best team in America. Now, I do wonder about brand recognition of Oklahoma, but I mean, Oklahoma has not been all that great this year. And Oklahoma's been hammered in the playoff the last couple of seasons, so I don't know why you'd automatically put them in. Do you think if Utah got in, they could stick with the top three teams?
Absolutely. Look, I think Ohio State's the best team in college football right now. But to your point, Oklahoma to me is not going to be one of the four best. They are limping into, potentially one of these bowl games and certainly their championship game. And I've had other people say to me, well, if they beat Baylor, they're the seventh ranked team, that should be good enough. Think about this. The committee has already had Utah every single week in front of Oklahoma without a win against the current top 25, which to me means the committee sitting there going, yo, we're football people, and we know that Utah is a better football team. The margin between 7 and 13 to me is like basically a push. Some people might think I'm ridiculous saying that, but what's going to happen if Oklahoma beats Baylor? All of a sudden, that's going to be a significantly better win than Utah beating Oregon. I just don't see it. I think the committee, there's a reason why they've been in front of Oklahoma this entire time.
Mike Yam joins us, Pac-12 Networks, ahead of tonight's Pac-12 championship game. So aside from Zach Moss being injured in that USC game, that's the one blemish on Utah's track record right now. What went wrong that night for Utah?
It's a great question because people will focus in on that game, and I understand the narrative. They'll say Zach Moss was banged up and missed the majority of it. All good, and obviously that was a factor. There was a couple explosive plays in that game. Michael Pittman, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tyler Vaughns from USC. They got Sunday NFL dudes. I'd make an argument SC's got the best trio of wide receivers in the country, but let's not forget, you go back to the tape, Julian Blackman, also a Sunday DB sitting on that Utah roster, He literally just lost his footing and fell. So that's a score right there. And I think it was Jalen Johnson who just tripped. I mean, we were in Salt Lake City the week after that game. They smashed Washington State. And you talk to those players, and they're like, yo, we went back to the tape. Not to be disrespectful to USC, but that was a fluke. I mean, the way we lost that game. And you can't help but think that they're right. This team has been mission-minded. You know, DA, they're beating teams during this eight-game winning streak by 29 points per game. That's the largest margin in the country. They're not just getting by. They are absolutely annihilating their competition. So to me, like, we could point to the SC game and look, they lost, and I understand it's a blemish and the committee is going to point to that. And that's why there's a conversation about that fourth spot between these one loss teams. But the way in which they lost that game, like, I just don't think it's as bad of a loss as other people maybe around the country are perceiving it.
What do you think is the biggest reason USC decided to bring back Clay Helton?
First of all, and I know that when it comes to coaches, being a nice guy only takes you so far. But when I tell you Clay Helton is legitimately one of the best dudes that I've ever been around in college football as a person, he's on the short list. And I think that that's meaningful for a program like that that's had some issues. I think people forget what happened when Lane was there, when Sark was there. You know, the couple interim jobs for him in that time, and SC was on this downward spiral. People forget about that, and the memory is short. Clay steadied the ship. They go and win a Pac-12 championship game. They give us a Rose Bowl win against Saquon Barkley and Penn State. It was one of the best games that I had seen in person, and I understand that last year was not a good campaign for him. He would tell you that, but he revamped. He was told, look, you got to make changes. You go from an offensive-minded coach who goes, you know what, like, I'm going to give the keys to Graham Harrell. I'm going to let him run this air raid offense. They're winning games at some point this season with their third-string quarterback. Not many teams in the country can do that. And at the end of the season, where there's all this talk about Urban Meyer, it's his team pulling out road victories and still playing hard for him. To me, I wasn't all that surprised that Mike Bone decided to bring him back. Now, if there's a year like next year where there's a lot of struggles, I think there's potentially issues there. I'll be honest with you. I think this team is in a pretty good spot for next season.
Mike Yam joins us, Pac-12 Networks. Final question about coaching. I think Chris Peterson comes back and coaches again. He's only 55.
Yeah, God. You know, I watched the press conference and he said, I'm not going to fall for it. And to me, that automatically opens the door. Chris is, I would argue a top five coach in all of college football. So I think the conference took a hit in that perspective, but Jimmy Lake would have been the next hot name that was out there. So Jen Cohn, their AD, did an awesome job just kind of sliding him in there. And I think he's going to be great. As far as Chris coaching, there's a part of me that says no, just because of the emotional side of it. Like, I really do think he needed to take a step back. And I think there's more to Chris than just football, which I know sounds weird for a guy that's had that much success at that level. I don't know if he comes back. I'd lean maybe towards no. I've thought about this a little bit, and initially I was like, oh, he'll come back in a couple years, but I don't think he's going to.
So the Washington job is not Alabama. It's not nope. Auburn. So you don't have this crazy, it's not LSU, it's not Ohio State, it's not Michigan, it's not one of these places where every single thing you do is scrutinized. It's not a massive, crazy college football climate there. So if he needs to recharge, what is he stepping away to recharge from?
I mean,
he could have been there forever.
I think everyone in Seattle and Washington alumni would have wanted that. He steadied the ship 2016 there in the college football playoff. I mean, did a remarkable job. I just think the grind, I mean, he's referenced it a little bit. I know, just from the coaching ranks and guys that I've worked with, you know, some mutual friends who have just indicated that I think it just wore on him a little bit, where you're nonstop recruiting. It's every single weekend. And I think Chris while he's a football coach, he's pretty cerebral. Every time I've had a conversation with him, it's not just about football. He's always thinking about his players and how to encourage them to think beyond football. So to me, I just think there's other interests and passions that he has that he's going to try to follow that path instead and use kind of football as his platform.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, I think you're right. I think he's one of the best coaches in America, and I'd be surprised if he never comes back, but maybe you're right. Maybe he's just got other things going on in his life. Tonight is the Pac-12 championship game, so you can watch that, and then pre- and post-game coverage with Mike Gamm and company on the Pac-12 Network as Utah tries to sew up a spot in that college football playoff. Mike, it's always good to talk to you. And Bogush, I don't know if you heard that, but when he came on, he said he gave you a ha-ha, so that should be enough.
No, I did. That is true that Mike did send a picture of me to me, and then I wrote back. But if Mike was to scroll up, he will see a text about Chris Peterson that went unanswered, plus a happy birthday text that was not addressed either. But those are the ones I was referencing.
A lot of birthday wishes.
It's okay. It's
get lost
fine.
In the shuffle.
We used to be.
Can I just confirm? I don't have those text messages.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
So
I'll show them the DA right now.
Wow.
I'm not saying that you're lying. I'm just saying that they're not there. Now, to be fair, I cracked the back of my iPhone, and I brought it to a certified, you know, store that's like dealing with Apple products, and probably was not the best move. I probably should have just brought it to an Apple store. I've noticed since I've gotten back, a lot of my contacts are gone, and
like excuses. Deal. Let's just get to my update.
Thank you, Mike. Be good, man.
I miss you too, Bogan.
Bye, Michael.
See you, man. Later, guys.
Mike Yam joining us from the Pac-12 Network. When we come back, Target Demo Friday, DA, CBS Sports Radio. It's cool tonight. Share the spice of life.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
An hour toll free line, 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Everyone, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance too. Get it all, geico.com. We've had a number of people asking whether earlier in the morning us griping about each other, specifically Bogush griping to Bilotti and Bilotti back and forth about the timing of an update during Taz and the Moose, and Bilotti trying to push him out during the break, and Bogush not liking that, feeling disrespected, was going to be a sign of the Festivus. And of course we will do Festivus again. Of course. The airing of the grievances will happen this year, And that's why December is always the greatest month of the DA Show year, is because we count down the greatest moments of the year, the most memorable moments of the 12 DAs of Christmas. We also have the Year of the Buffoon montage, 9 full minutes of Mraz sounding like an idiot throughout the year, and the airing of the grievances. So that will all happen over the next month. We had number 12 today of the 12 DAs. You can always listen to them if you may have missed it on YouTube or on podcast form. We will have Thursday, the Year of the Buffoon montage.
Yo, dude, you got to chill.
And we will do the airing of the grievances. We have to decide a date on this. It's a little squirrely right now because Mraz has the baby on the way. If the baby can't breathe, what is you? What is you at all? But Mraz, the weather models say that the baby is due 2 weeks from today.
Right. The projection of this snowstorm that is my birth of my child has been pushed up a week according to Poundage. Right now, I have a 7-pound Loch Ness monster.
From the street.
Shocking, me with a big baby on the way. But yeah, so now because of the size, the sheer nature and mass of this baby, they are saying, hold on now, the models are saying, this might blow in early. Instead of a Christmas baby, we have projected the date up to a December 18th, 19th range, which would be 2 weeks from now.
So we got a bit of a nor'easter.
Oh boy, do we have a nor'easter. A big old baby on the way.
I think every place on earth should be for babies. Top to bottom, but it's not my fault.
She's already playing from behind as far as dietary problems.
So Winter Storm Taylor has been moved up. The models say the 18th.
Get your bread and milk now.
Okay, so we might have to do Festivus next week then, which means there's a Festivus and the Year of the Buffoon montage in the same week, along with the 12 DAs.
There's a lot happening here. None of it sports related, but a lot happening.
Let's get to your Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. This is from Timothy, who is in Wisconsin. DA, how do you see the college football playoff fleshing out over the next couple of days? Do you think that Utah ends up getting in? Timothy, I do. I do think this is the way that it's going to go down in my estimation. Ohio State doesn't have much problems with Wisconsin tomorrow night, and Clemson barely breaks a sweat against Virginia. Those two are in, Ohio State, Virginia. I think Georgia could keep it close for a half. Ultimately, I don't think they have enough firepower to take down LSU. I don't think their defense is good enough to be able to slow down LSU enough. I think LSU ends up winning that game. That means taking then Georgia out of it, it's either Utah or the winner of Oklahoma-Baylor. I think Baylor wins the Big 12 championship game. I think they actually beat Oklahoma. And I think Utah wins tonight by 10 points or more, which means I think it comes down to Baylor or Utah. I think they're going to put Utah in. Now, if it comes down to Oklahoma or Utah, might they go with the brand recognition of Oklahoma? They might, but I just don't think the resume is as good. I really don't. I don't think that the people that know football can say that Oklahoma's football is better than Utah's football. And if this is about putting the four best football teams in, I think Utah will do enough tonight to get them into the college football playoff. Time for Target Demo Friday.
It's a 3-hour black hole block party. Here's what our listeners are doing as they connect to the mothership.
On Facebook, Chris writes, he's in Florence, South Carolina, the CBS Sports app. In my 20s, I was an assistant manager of a big cookie store. If you're worried about the cookies burning, double pan them in the oven, drop cooking temperatures by about 10 degrees, and add a couple of minutes of baking time. I got all them baking hacks. Enjoy, fellas.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Eat, Santa, eat.
Jake on Facebook. What up, DA? Can I get a Bimo? Listening to you here in Tulsa, 1300 The Buzz, ready to grill out, watch the Sooner game, and hopefully watch Utah lose tonight. Boomer Sooner.
You are a machine of death.
Billy's on the Radio.com app in Pensacola on Facebook, wondering if any coach can succeed in Dallas with Jerry Jones in charge, and why doesn't he just coach since he seems to be doing it anyway? He just wants a puppet to control. Gonna bake that Oreo sandwich cookie with my kid while eating a pizza since the wife is at a Christmas party for work tonight. You need to eat like this.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Brandon, losing, losing, losing.
Branded on Facebook. D.A., Pete, Andrew Mraz. Can I get a Bebo? Listening on my Echo Dot here in Tacoma, getting ready for work in my Georgia Bulldogs tomorrow. Watch them in the SEC championship game. I don't even have a job, Damien.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
What is you at all?
Doug on Facebook is on AM 1270 out of Detroit, sitting in the recliner listening to the show. Gotta love back-to-back Friday celebrating Cowboy losses. Pedro, listening in Reno, listening on the CBS Sports app. Too late for the Cowboys to tank the rest of the season, get a new coach, and decent draft picks to help the cause.
Come on, Damon. Wake up.
As soon as you don't make no taco, I don't love you no more.
Derek on Facebook is on the eastern shore of Maryland, AM 1300, out of Baltimore.
All right.
Andrew's in line to check out at a tool sale in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
All right.
Johnny's listening at work on the CBS Sports app in Erie.
All right.
And Kevin's listening on 1490 in Topeka, just hoping future Hall of Fame inductee Eli Manning doesn't ruin the Giants' chances of getting Chase Young with a last hurrah moment in the spotlight.
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
Yo, dude, you got to chill.
On Twitter, Jonathan tweets, I'm in Norcos, California. Radio.com, shout out to my wife this weekend for doing the 12K run Lachlan over the Davis Dam. Hashtag clubhouse leader.
She's a bad girl, David.
Kyle. Oh. DA, I'm listening to the mothership on the radio.com app in Lake Havasu, and I'm not doing crack.
Oh, okay.
My baby from the street.
Hemsky in Tucson. My kids have their advent calendars and chocolate. I have the 12 DAs of Christmas. Hashtag pregnant wife at home getting 4 hours of sleep for this garbage.
What you think about that, DA?
A machine of death.
AZ and Wisco's listening on radio.com, staring down a three-day swim meet that starts this evening, followed by a weekend AM-PM session. So basically all weekend on deck, inhaling chlorine fumes and not watching the NFL, the EPL, or the Buckeyes. So beam me up. Rob in Topeka is heading to the plaza in Kansas City for some Christmas shopping. Listening on radio.com, local honks cut off the final hour of you guys.
Oh, okay.
Rob, the 3-2-1. Happy Target Demo Friday from Cool Cocoa Beach. Listening on radio.com, counting the hours until my wife's Christmas party at the Yacht Club. Yeah, kind of fancy. Shout out to Lewis and Palmdale and his amazing recovery. Enjoy the weekend, guys.
All right.
Eric is listening on the CBS Sports Radio app in Big D. I'm still in disgust over that horrendous Cowboys loss, but plan on lifting my spirits with a guy's night out tonight at Bucks Wild. Hashtag, give me that warm sugar. Get on top of the guy and do a lap dance.
Get on top of the guy and they'll do a lap dance.
Oh, I love it.
Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Bogish versus Bilotti in a who needed to go to break first.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
The problem is Pete has decided that that last segment needs to have multiple minutes in it. And that's why he demands the 45 hard out, which is not really a hard out.
Very bland.
It's for Pete's sake. It's not for actual computers and schedules and affiliates.
State your case.
First of all, I haven't decided that, Mr. Bogish. Why don't you go talk to Mark Chernoff? He decided.
Okay.
Right from the beginning.
Okay.
So we were already technically 10 minutes away. 10 minutes past the break time when we're supposed to break.
Because you like to get to break at 30.
I got a belly full of white dog on me. And now you lay this on me?
Not 30. No. In that show, 35, ideally you like to get out. 40 is a stretch.
I see. Okay.
Right. So, and they...
35 or 40 past the hour.
But 45 is a stretch for you because...
I like music.
Because that segment's Bogish. Supposed to be 10 minutes.
Bogish. We got... That's supposed to be a segment you're coming back
okay,
to.
But that's...
You're not supposed to be coming back to 2 minutes to say goodbye. But, hello.
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 Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
But that's
hey, goodbye.
But that's somebody's decision. There's no actual
punishment
if that happens,
yes,
right?
Yes, our boss's decision
okay.
that he made when the network started.
And that's fine.
So that's what happened.
Oh. And I guarantee you that if you did an inventory of all of the shows across this network, the amount of time that they hit that time correctly where they have a full 10-minute segment at the end of the hour is probably under 50%.
Well, I'm not in charge of them. You could go talk to their producers.
I will.
You know what?
Hello.
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 Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, goodbye. I do what I'm supposed supposed to do. That's it. And if you have a problem with it, I've addressed this already with the people on that show.
Full.
Right, so it's my fault
for
doing my job because they did what they had to do.
It is not,
okay.
It is not,
you guys,
it's
what
not
you want,
your
do what you
fault.
Want. I don't care. Do what you want. You know, just run amok, all right? I'm just trying to do my job here, and you guys just blow. Let's just blow through everything. Let's just do whatever we want.
Okay,
all right?
It's for Pete's sake.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Bilotti should really have a podcast called For Pete's Sake and just gripe about everything. Dimitri,
it's for Pete's sake.
Dimitri tweets, DA, love the show. Y'all make my day and get me through every day since my mom had a stroke. I'm listening on the CBS Sports app out here making people happy, delivering packages in Abilene, Texas. Thanks for everything to the whole gang. You guys are the best. Thank you, guys. Appreciate the kind words, but thank you to you guys as well. This was such a fun year. I don't know if I've ever had more fun doing the show over the course of a calendar year. And that's saying something because we've had a lot of fun on this show. But I just feel like we've had so many good shows, so many good laughs, so many good segments, so many good interviews. So hopefully you guys enjoyed as much as we do. And that's why we're celebrating this year all month in December. This has been so much fun. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, Wizard of Watch DA. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. We'll run amok again on Monday. I'll see you for Sunday morning football on Sunday, the Mothership Disconnect.
You give me warm sugar, sucking both cheeks down.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.